The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth. This is my co-host, Kara.
Hello.
Kara Kittrick, do you have any news for us?
Yes, I do. So, first of all, Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump's lawyer and attorney general under Ronald Reagan, retweeted a conspiracy theory about the death of Seth Rich last week, pointing to, quote-unquote, some nagging coincidences. Naturally, the conspiracy theory that Hillary Clinton murdered Seth Rich is supported by no evidence whatsoever, but it is a very convenient thing for people to believe. Imran Khan, Prime Minister of Pakistan, has once again threatened India with nuclear war over control of Kashmir. Pakistan and India have, of course, been squabbling over that particular piece of land since the partition of India and Pakistan in the late 1940s. In giant reptile news, geneticist Professor Neil Gemmell of New Zealand has completed his DNA analysis of Loch Ness and is excited to announce that he has a new leading theory for the cause of the Loch Ness monster phenomenon. He did not, however, explain what this theory was, saying only that it would be unveiled at an event later this year. Oh, Neil, you're such a tease. Finally, a man crossed the English Channel on a flying jet-powered hoverboard, signaling once and for all that we are living in the future. Of course, the most important application of this technology, hoverboard jousting, has not yet become widespread. Back to you, Chauncey.
Hillary Clinton murdered Seth Rich. Who's Seth Rich? Should I know about this?
Well, you mentioned it a couple of times on the show, just in passing as a conspiracy theory that is ridiculous.
Like it's a part of Pizzagate.
It comes from the same, you know, general area.
I see. Yeah.
But the idea, I think, is that Seth Rich was a DNC staffer who people like to believe leaked all of the emails about to WikiLeaks rather than, you know, the Russians getting a hold of them.
Right. I do remember this. I do remember this.
And so the idea is that instead of being killed by burglars, he was, you know, killed by assassins from, you know, the Democratic National Convention. They called up their assassins.
Right. Totally. Like, you know, because
I wonder if the assassins are like, you know, when you go to volunteer for a campaign. Like, some people are stuffing envelopes, some people are going door to door, and, like, a couple people, they just hand you a silenced 9mm.
Right.
Just like, you'll need to bump this guy off.
Right. You know, part of me thinks it's ridiculous that they would have assassins, and part of me thinks it makes a lot of sense. So I'm not really sure. I mean, does the owner, the potential ownership of assassins really kind of just come down to a certain amount of money? Once you have a certain amount of money, you potentially could have assassins.
Yeah, I guess it's just so hard to get away with murder, you know, in 2019.
Yeah, especially in the public eye.
Right. Yeah. I mean, assuming you murder someone important.
Right.
Like, if you shoot a homeless guy, like, they're not even going to investigate. So, help yourself.
Right. But this isn't Christopher Walken in the 70s. Man. This is, like, the day and age of the media.
Right, exactly. So, I really don't think, like, no matter how much money you have, I really don't think you can get away with actually killing someone important.
Oh, right.
But I don't know. That's
what do you make
me.
Of this India-Pakistan thing? You know, my opinion, I really kind of see them as really just kind of mouthing off to one another because they know that the entire world will rain on them like hellfire.
Oh, yeah. So I don't think they're serious, but I think, you know, they're kind of – like the nuclear war threats are kind of new. Like, that's, you know, in the last few years. And so I think the danger is that, you know, eventually, like, maybe the populace of each country is going to, a certain percentage is going to be like, yeah, nuclear war, we like the sound of that.
Right.
And eventually you're going to get a leader in power who is crazy and is, you know, ready to deliver on that promise. So,
it's
a risk. It's probably not a great thing to, like, bring into the discourse.
Right, and when you're dealing with, you know, potentially religious zealots, it seems like every country, from the United States to, you know, some country you've never heard of, we all seem to have some sort of religious
zealots. Right, everyone has religious zealots, except, like, I don't know, Denmark.
Yeah, totally.
I think
been outlawed there.
Yeah. Right, I think, like, their religious zealots are just the guy who gives you some, you know, cookies when you walk into church and, like, you're the only one there. And it's like, oh, you're...
Can you believe this guy handed me a pamphlet?
Right, that's their religious zealots.
And then Loch Ness DNA, all I got to say about this one is that when a scientist discovers something, they put it out in a paper. They don't wait till they can charge for it, so forget this guy.
Yeah, it's weird because he is an actual scientist.
Not anymore.
No.
Nope,
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah.
But, you know, scientists really don't get paid a lot, so.
Yeah, I guess that's true, you know. He's just trying to get his money.
I can't blame him for, you know, prostituting his intellectual knowledge to the...
Totally. If I had any, I would, too.
Yeah.
And then English Channel hoverboard, you know, heck of cool. You know, I've seen the footage of this thing.
It's awesome.
This is the second time he tried it. He crashed halfway through last time.
Right.
But because he had to refuel. He couldn't make it all the way across with the power that he had. But he only had to refuel once to make it all the way across.
Now, it's worth noting, like, when I say hoverboard, I think a lot of people think of, like, hoverboards that you see people on that are, you know, kind of Segway-ish. You know, they hover a few millimeters off the ground. But, no, this is – he's like the Silver Surfer.
You know? This guy's just standing on a drone.
Yeah, basically.
Standing on a quadcopter drone is
I mean,
kind of what
I don't know that. Did it have rotors?
I think it's a quadcopter drone, yeah.
I would be terrified of standing on a platform that was, like, ringed with spinning
blades. Yeah, I don't
know.
I might be wrong on that one. You can't hold me to that one.
Well, you might be right, but that is horrifying if that's the case.
All right, we got a few minutes up until our first break, and our guest, Myron Curtis, we're going to be talking about virtual reality. But up until then, you know, I've known you for a long time, and I kind of figured, and Jared, too, I've known for a long time, I kind of figured I'd already told you all my stories, but I got a funny one. We were talking about how during the commercial breaks we need to play a woman screaming, and I was talking about how a peahen, like a lady peacock, when it makes its little noise, it sounds like a woman screaming help. You know, it's sure. very disturbing. So, after my mom died, I go and live with my aunt and uncle.
Okay.
And I'm living across the hall from my cousin. And me and my cousin are close. We play in bands at the time and stuff. And, and I'm laying in my room, and I hear him call me, and he's just all, Chance. And I'm all like, what? And he doesn't answer. And finally, I hear him call again. He's all, Chance. And I'm all like, what? And... he doesn't answer, and he yells it again, Chance. And finally, I get up, and I go into his room, and I throw the door open, and I'm just all, what? And he's all, man, I didn't say anything.
Oh,
and so from outside his window, the neighbors have llamas, and you can hear this llama in a field going, Chance, you know, fully yelling my name. And I'm all, oh my God, you know.
I was ready to be like, that is some Haunting of Hill House level.
Yeah. Well,
know,
it was.
Terror.
The Haunting Llama of Hill House, yeah.
Yeah, well, that must have been what was plaguing the Crane family that whole time.
Absolutely. You
know, there was just a pack of llamas outside on a field. They didn't notice.
That's true. There's a whole world of mystery and conspiracy here to unravel the screaming peahen and the llama yelling Chance.
Yeah, the bent neck llama.
All right, we're coming up on our first break here, and when we come back, we have our guest Myron Curtis, and we're going to be talking about virtual realities and their effect on our future and on the current world that we're in. So come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
This is Carl Bott, and this year, Linda and I are having a staycation at Holiday Harbor. Great facilities, boats, and of course, the Harbor Cafe. Harbor Cafe is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Great food, beer, wine, and of course, mimosas in the morning. Add that to the views of Lake Shasta, and there's no reason to go anywhere else. We love Holiday Harbor and the Harbor Cafe. That's a staycation every family will enjoy. Holiday Harbor. Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Thanks for not calling the 800 number.
You've heard, don't call the 800 number. Instead, call your Dish Premier local retailer at 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Here's another reason why.
Galen H. with 5 stars writes, for Dish, home theater, and TV mounting, I call B&T Satellite. Doug has helped me move my Dish network services twice in the last 3 years, and I couldn't be happier with the service he provides. It's nice to have a local guy that serves all the North State. He also helped me in my latest move with my TV mounts at a reasonable price when I couldn't get any other companies to do it unless I bought added equipment or services.
B&T Satellite will take the time to listen to your needs and work with you to give you the best TV experience. Your local premier Dish retailer. You owe it to yourself to not call the 800 number. Call 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Myron Curtis. Myron, do we have you there with us?
Hello?
Hello, Myron.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Not bad. Are you back in paradise, or are you still an expatriate, or are you becoming an expatriate?
Well, we have a little cabin in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we're staying there for now.
Well, it sounds...
Probably permanently, but we don't know.
I see. Okay, so basically... So, for our audience's understanding, you had this website, but your servers went down when Paradise went down. Is that correct?
Correct. I just now got them back up on a server on a rack in Phoenix that a company called the Dimension Beyond is actually running for me.
Okay, and why don't you explain to us to get started and to give you some background what this site is?
All right. A virtual world is like a three-dimensional website, and you explore it with an avatar, which is kind of like a cartoon character of yourself, although you can use other forms as well. And you can build all kinds of things there, including buildings and roads and stores, or you can go off the charts and build spaceships and, strange virtual worlds that couldn't possibly exist in reality. So it's a pretty amazing technology. It started really coming into its own with the advent of Second Life back around 2006.
Yeah, I remember Second Life and Second Life being big at the time, and there was a lot of talk of economies even going on within these worlds.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And there still is. I'm actually working on trying to get a real-world economy going in it using maybe something like PayPal micropayments so that people can, you know, don't have to think about how much their coinage in-world is actually worth compared to coinage in the real world.
I see. But when we say an economy is going on, are we talking about, you know, buying new skins for your character? Or are we talking about actually, like, buying services and buying real-world services and goods?
Both.
Both.
And mostly right now, people are buying and selling virtual goods, but there's certainly no reason why you couldn't upload a three-dimensional version of a real-world product, including photographs. And then people can explore those and decide to buy them, and they could get a virtual copy, and they could get a real-world copy. For example, buying clothes. You could go in with an avatar that is built to scale of you, and you go in, you try on clothes, and you can take a 360 view of yourself in these clothes. And if you buy something, and it comes shipped to your door, you know it fits.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely like the idea and I get the idea, but you know, as a person who the camera adds 10 pounds on top of the 10 pounds that it already added, I'm not sure I would like shopping for my virtual
you
guy.
You could sneak around and do it.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
You could have the hot version of you under your named account, and then you could have an alternate you with the sizes that are actual.
Right. That's what I need. That's what I need. So it's like a fun house mirror. I can switch to what I should, you know, what I should look like.
Your
you
ideal
know.
Self.
Right. You know, and yeah. While I'm laughing about this and joking about this, of course, we are seeing virtual reality expand into all sorts of aspects, you know, for people who are maybe viewing this more like a video game and less like a tool. I'm sure they've all seen Marvel movies, and when Tony Stark grabs the ship diagnostics and opens it up and looks around at it and stuff like that, this is basically the future of of what virtual reality might actually be, or at least augmented reality.
Right, and the goggles of today are rapidly shrinking. They'll be about the size of eyeglasses with audio inputs. You may actually have hypnotic gloves that actually sense your hand movements, things like that. We already have the controllers with Oculus Rift and things. So that is becoming the reality. And, in fact, the next step beyond virtual reality and augmented reality will be what I call integrated reality, where you really can't tell the difference.
Right.
And Elon Musk just announced that his company is developing a brain-computer interface that will allow you to have access to artificial intelligence.
Neuralink, right.
So it's very possible that you could also have virtual world projections on the go.
Yeah, that's wild. You know, the scary thing is, like, the first people willing to try these things, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, but I guess money will do anything for people that are desperate, you know. all right, so what did it take for you to build this? I mean, was this a technology that you knew, or was this something you said, hey, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get these people to build it for me? Was it an investment project for you, or did you sit around and actually make this thing happen?
I was part of having it happen, but I didn't actually build it myself at first. What happened is I was asked by the college I was working for to go in and evaluate Second Life as an educational platform. And I was hooked immediately, and it took me 14 days to come up for air and say, oh, I guess I better do some evaluation here. And I started the Darkstone Learning Center in Second Life, where I actually evaluated the different teaching tools that they had. Pretty good stuff. Then around 2005, I started hearing rumors that somebody somebody had reverse engineered and was creating an open source version of Second Life. Mm-hmm. And I jumped on that. It eventually became Open Simulator, which is recognized as an alternate to Second Life, and it's actually quite robust. And my virtual worlds are built on that platform.
I see.
I've actually modified the code somewhat to do the things I want and get rid of some of the things that they have in there. But on the whole, it's Open Simulator.
So you went into it with a focus on education.
Correct.
And
that's evolved.
Right. But, you know, what was the educational goal at the time? I mean, I can definitely see educational things for engineering and stuff like that, but I'm assuming that you went into it for, like, virtual classrooms and stuff like that?
Correct. You know, because online education in its most current form is really kind of lonely. I mean, you do have to chat and stuff with the other students and the instructor, but you lack that face-to-face quality and the ability to interact with other people in real time. So a virtual world is actually kind of a virtualized face-to-face classroom.
Right.
Which you could actually record and archive, and people could come back and look at it later. But you do have more opportunities for spontaneity in
right.
the classroom.
Yeah, and more, interaction. You know, I don't know if it's my generation or if it's my imagination, but I have for doing this radio stuff and for doing what I do for a living, I mean, I do online advertising. I have a hard time communicating online through chat rooms and stuff like that. So I'm kind of interested in this. I wonder if I would be more apt to communicate like myself if I felt like I was communicating with somebody in front of me.
Yeah, but on steroids, because we have voice chat right now.
Mm-hmm.
Voice to text is being developed so that when you speak, somebody who doesn't want to hear use voice or can't can have it translated directly into text, which allows our translation programs to deliver translations into at least 62 different languages from the text.
Right. Yeah.
So you can have subtitles. So, the real world.
Pardon me?
I said you could have subtitles, for instance, in the real world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you could be talking to somebody in China. You would hear them speaking in Chinese, but it would actually be displayed in text with the translation into English.
Yeah, and the sub is always better than the dub. Let's be clear
the sub
here.
Is better than the dub. That's funny.
But it also addresses a lot of accessibility issues that are becoming more prevalent, because with a lot of our veterans coming back from overseas, a lot of them have developed hearing problems from the percussions that they've experienced.
Yeah, not to belittle the things that they've gone through, but I played music for years, and I definitely yeah. have that. I can guarantee you my headphones are a whole lot louder than Kara's are right now.
Probably, yeah.
You know, my family makes fun of me because they say they talk smack about me behind my back all the time, and I don't know, they might be.
Yeah, my grandparents are pretty much deaf. It would be pretty cool if they could hear me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, or at least know what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some apps that do augmented reality where they translate, let's say, signs when you're in another country, and it'll translate the language to your mm-hmm. language, giving you directions and whatnot.
Right, yeah. We have those on phones already, and we're porting that technology into virtual worlds and virtual reality in general, actually.
All right, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Myron Curtis. We're talking about virtual realities. As cool as the effect on your voice sounds, it's a little creepy for the topic. We're going to have Jared try to get a better phone connection and come on back. We're listening to Myron Curtis, and we're talking about virtual realities right here on Radio Wasteland.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Vicki Will.
This is the restless and his host scars from the very first shot to the planet Mars. Was a disco queen in 76. Castrates cows as a shit turkey.
Mother mother and sugar now, like spirit of dead in Jonestown. From the demolition derby with the guys at the gym. The super of the candy and chip rubber than the day.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret's gonna rescue you.
Pirate Secret essential oils can be purchased in Reading at Orchard Nutrition, Enjoy the Store, Country Organics, in Chico at SS Produce, Arcata in Wildberries, and online at piratesecret.com.
Have you been looking to purchase or refinance a home? Allow the team at Omega Mortgage Group to show you why so many of your friends and family, realtors and escrow officers, refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Our low rates, simple application, fast escrows, and outstanding service really speak for themselves. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
Have you been involved in any type of accident? Bring it to Mako and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. Bring it to Mako here in Reading and get a professional paint job. Mako also has interest-free loans for up to year OAC. Mako, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Mako, 226-0992. Call Mako for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Mako Warranty. Right now, buy a one-year extended warranty, get an extra year free. Or buy a two-year warranty and get an extra year free. Mako, America's Body Shop. Stop by your local Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh, better call Mako, 226-0992.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking to our guest, Myron Curtis, about virtual realities. A big part of this, as Kara was saying during the break, is really about what the future is. So maybe we should cover what's the current, like, impact on, let's say, business of virtual reality? You know, where do we find that now in business?
Right now it's primarily in marketing. But that's evolving rapidly. And with Elon Musk's announcement about brain-computer interfacing and things like that, we could actually be looking at a point in time where we're projecting parts of a virtual world into your everyday consciousness. For example, you might see somebody that looks like they're standing right in front of you and talking to you who really isn't there. It's a projection into your mind.
I take three pills a day so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's funny.
I like that, too. But, you know, the possibilities are actually whatever you can imagine. In fact, in programming, which this is really all based on, we have adopted the engineer's wisdom that if you can dream it precisely enough, it can be built. And that's really what we're doing with virtual reality. It's really hard to imagine what somebody else is imagining. I know what I want, you know, but somebody else might want a virtual dance club.
Right.
You know, and it's really hard to imagine. I could see, for example, one of the reasons I developed Virtual Worlds Grid is in the back of my mind, I was kind of hoping that the users would spontaneously develop an in-world government that would act as a template we could use for real-world governments. All they wanted to do was play.
Yes, of course.
Which might be exactly what we really need in the real
right.
world.
Well, maybe the government at least needs to understand that all that we all want to do really is just play.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
We're monkeys on the playground.
I think we're more serious than that, but it was an eye-opener for me.
No, I meant we are, me and Chauncey. But.
Oh, wow.
Just speaking for us.
Yeah.
You're different,
oh, okay.
I'm sure.
So what you're saying is...
I don't know if I'm that much different.
So when you say that this is in marketing, I'm assuming that you're talking about like virtual assistants and chatbots that are actually moving heads and interacting with you and mouthing the words and stuff like that.
Right, and a lot of them now are being driven by artificial intelligence. Actually,
right.
It's reaching the point where I like to call them digital beings. And some of them are currently at that point where they can handle most things on their own, but they can actually call a human representative, merge with them, and then learn from the interaction as the human deals with the problem the customer is experiencing or the opportunity that's arising. And we're seeing a lot of virtual projections being used in the stock market to try to mimic real-world situations in order to predict what's going to happen with the stocks later on down the road. But that's actually pretty private to the different companies. It's very...
proprietary and hush-hush.
What's the word?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, they don't really want to share that information.
Well, an example of like that in the real world that we see on a regular basis is forgive my non-technical name for it, but the like noodle maps they show you for the weather for like when the hurricane's coming in, and they show you all the different paths it might potentially take.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
We can actually take that a step further. Say you're a gold mining company. Mm-hmm. With all the vibrations going on the earth right now, we're taking that data and mapping the different densities of the materials inside of the earth and becoming more and more precise. It'll actually reach the point where we can have a virtual projection of the earth or maybe a piece of property and actually filter out all the different densities to see where the gold is.
Yeah, I used to have an office that I shared in a building, and another one of the companies in the office actually did like terrain mapping for the government and fire and stuff like that, where they would actually fly over and map it with drones and create 3D situations of the thing where they could remove the trees and see the terrain and sort of come up with expectations about the way fires would go and how they would stop them.
Correct. And they're using LIDAR now with satellites to create virtual images of the ground without the vegetation
yeah.
to find ancient structures.
Yeah, and that's definitely
awesome.
An interest of mine.
Yes.
Without doubt, you know. Yeah. So, what do you see for the future of this? You know, let's do this in steps. You know, where do you think we'll be in 5 years?
In 5 years, probably going to be more widespread adoption of virtual technology for virtual reality. So your games will be more interactive. We'll probably have new equipment that allows you to interact with the scenes a little more deliberately, rather than have the rules projected onto you, for example, like in Minecraft. Won't be too much longer after that we'll probably have more augmented reality type situations where you might walk into a store and hold your phone up at a product and see projected a lot more information about it, including reviews and environmental reviews and data that you think might be important to you. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, with the possibility of having the mind connected directly to the system with artificial intelligence, you won't be surfing the Internet. You will be the Internet. You will actually be able to access information directly in real time, so you'll have to spend more of your time evaluating the value of that information rather than just having the content. For example, in education, think of instead of going and reading about the Battle of Gettysburg, you're actually a participant in it.
Right.
And you can actually walk up to somebody who's in the battle, say, figuratively tap them on the shoulder, bring them out, and ask them why they're there. Have a real conversation with them, you know, and find out about their personal history and things. We have a lot of that information out there. It just can't be contained in the textbook.
Right. You know, there's a lot of, I had this friend, Keith, and he was from Delaware. We met in Arizona. I was from Redding, a small town, a very white town. And Keith ends up being my roommate and best friend down there, and he was black. And so it was an eye-opener to me to be connected to a culture that I had never been connected to. And he used to have this saying that he would say that he was kind of joking about how the world will never be a happy place until everybody's beige. You know, but but this would actually create situations where you literally could walk a mile in somebody else's shoes and get to know what it felt like to be somebody else, or even as a kid to be bullied, or any of these. A lot of these social things that we consider problems now, we could actually all have experienced before we were adults.
Right, and a lot of people are actually starting to use virtual reality as a role-playing situation to overcome their fears. Sponsor of Vet Life is using it to help veterans with PTSD overcome or at least control better their PTSD reactions. For example, if they walk into Walmart and something falls from a shelf and makes a large bang.
Right.
You know, they know how to handle it.
Like a safe, a safe place for immersion therapy.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. They're actually using Second Life for that, but it's a role-playing idea that makes a lot of sense to me. I've supported them for several years.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, it's one of those things where we all think we have a pretty good grasp on it. I play Pokemon Go. I know what I'm talking about. You know, but you really don't have a good grasp
right.
on what it could be and where it's going. Yeah. All right, we're coming up on another break here. You're listening to Myron Curtis. We're talking about virtual realities and where they're going in the future. And, of course, Myron, when I come back, I got to ask you the thing that I love to ask people, and that is there anything we should be worried about? Is there anything scary going on here? You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Myron Curtis. Come on back.
Each night I wonder who you are. And so Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
Hello, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Jack, well, yes, sir. Here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning Service, we carry a complete line of Energy Star high-efficiency heating and cooling systems.
Don't make a bit of sense to me.
Well, sir, we're always here to help you at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. I don't know why you're so grouchy.
I'm not feeling grouchy.
And here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, we can install a new Energy Star high-efficiency system with our expert technicians. Now, what do you think of that?
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
The truth is, quality service is just a phone call away with Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. Call 221-2642 in Redding or 378-2642 in Anderson and Cottonwood.
Everybody calls us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. You're listening to our guest, Myron Curtis, as we're talking about virtual reality. Okay, so, you know, ultimately, you know, we're a conspiracy, mystery, futurism show, you know, and we want the freaky stuff, you know. Do you think there's anything concerning going on here that we need to be careful of as we move forward with virtual reality and augmented reality?
Quite a bit, actually. You know, most people are going to be concerned about their loss of privacy, which will happen, especially if we do have this brain-computer interface that Elon Musk is supposedly developing. But the reality is we haven't had any privacy for probably decades.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about more than anything else is the people who either cannot or will not adjust these technologies, they're going to be at a financial loss. And we aren't discussing at all, again, you know, how to mitigate that situation to where they can, you know, make a good living, even though they're not using virtual tools and virtual reality or augmented reality. It's going to be the same thing again, like when the computers were first brought on board and people lost their jobs to a computer. And then later on, people lost their jobs to robots. Right. And now they're losing their jobs to what I call digital beings, which would be artificial intelligence.
You know, we're about to see a big issue with that one with the trucking industry.
Right.
Probably.
Exactly, yeah. And, I get a little cynical about it because I was always part of the group that was always telling people, hey, this is coming. You got to adjust for it. Go take classes. Do something. Maybe shift careers. And it was all, well, they'll never be able to replace me.
Right.
And what happened? But this is going to have the same effect, and probably even more so than people realize. You know, for example, why have a building downtown Sacramento when you could have a virtual building somewhere in a virtual world that can be accessed anywhere from the world without having to worry about, you know, having a parking lot, having security for your building, you know, making sure there's restaurants around for your people to go eat at.
Right.
You know, that's so all those businesses that supported you having that building in Sacramento are going to suffer unless they find a way to adjust. And nobody's preparing them for that, and they're not even aware what's happening.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I'm already a part of this industry. I do online marketing, I was saying earlier, and I work from an office at home, and I communicate with all the same people every day, day in and day out, as though we're in the office, and but we're not. You know, we're all in our respective homes doing one office's worth of work from our houses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, where it might help a little bit, though, is if we develop what I call telecommuting hubs. A lot of people, and especially in rural America, don't have access to broadband.
Mm-hmm.
But almost every city has at least one location where there's enough broadband where people can come in and work remotely from, you know, a location in town and have really a virtual office in cyberspace for the companies they're working for. And they could be working for multiple companies.
So do you think we're at the point here with our country and our industry, you know, leaving politics out of it, where you feel that nationwide broadband should be accessible for everybody because of the way the future is going? It seems to me like maybe you would think that so that a future populace is ready to work in it.
Oh, definitely. I've been a part of broadband alliances up and down the state of California for years, up until my home in Paradise burned down. And even still, I stay in contact with those people and keep track of what's going on. Take this into consideration. South Korea, little old South Korea, has 2 gigabytes of broadband to every doorstep. Rural America, we're lucky to get dial-up.
Right, yeah.
You know, and some of those copper wires that you get your dial-up over are so green to the core, it's a wonder you can even make a phone call through them.
Right, yeah. I'm wondering if they should be, if internet access should be considered like the highway or freeway system, that so much economy runs through it that you wouldn't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there seems to be a lot of back
analogy.
And forth. There
right.
seems to be a lot of back and forth politically on that stuff, but it seems to me that...
I think Comcast doesn't love that idea, for example.
You know, and I've talked to Comcast, and I've talked to AT&T, and while they haven't directly answered my questions, and Verizon, you know, I have always got the impression that they're waiting on some new technology that maybe I'm not aware of. And maybe it's the 5G, I don't know. But they're really dragging their feet for some reason. And the money that we have given them in the billions of dollars, they've used not to give access to rural America, but to actually improve their services in urban America.
Right, where they know the money's at.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But ironically, still 25% of people in urban areas can't afford their prices.
That's because they pay rent.
Right.
Yeah.
They actually try to make a living at minimum wage.
Right. They pay urban rent. Yeah.
Right.
All right, Myron, we're coming up on the end of the show here. Where can people find out more about you, find out about your virtual worlds, and really sort of get connected here?
I'm on LinkedIn as Myron JC and Twitter as Myron JC and on Instagram as Myron JC. And they can always go to Virtual Worlds with an S, grid.com and get information about their my virtual world there. Let's see, and I also have MyronJC.com, which I really have to update.
Well, awesome. We have a few more minutes here, so I got one or two more questions here for you. You know, when it comes to the connection to the brain, like you're talking mm-hmm. about Elon Musk, you know, this seems like a great step for an undeniable step for technology. Of course, we're going to go this way, but is one of the fears that they can put stuff into your brain that you don't want, you know, like mind control stuff?
Yeah, you will be assimilated.
Right, right.
That's reassuring. We will be the Borg, and hopefully there'll be an off switch.
Yeah.
But, you know, not unless we decide that in advance and require it. You know, from an industrial standpoint, the idea of a personal bot that goes out, earns money, then spends it at your company and has no choice might be kind of appealing.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the draw right. for let's say, Kara's generation here in a city might not be apt to buy a car unless they spent the extra money to buy the car and have the car go out and work for them. You know, mm-hmm. basically you send your car out there to be your rideshare that works for you and pay itself off, drop you off at work, right. and go to work for 8 hours.
So it kind of sounds like we have two options. You know, we could create a post-scarcity paradise where no one has to work, where we're all taken care of by robots, or we could remorselessly grind the working class under our boot heels.
So, yeah, we'll do all the above.
Both were good ways to go, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And option A, option
B. May happen sooner than you think.
Yeah.
I think it already is.
And I think, Myron, yeah. right there, I think you gave a very good answer, and that is, we'll do all of the above. I think right. that is
little column
case.
A.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. You may actually have an alternate working somewhere in a company developing programs that you aren't actually being aware of because the mind-computer interface is actually using your brain for processing.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It was definitely enlightening. I learned all sorts of things that I didn't think I would have known. All right. You've been listening to Myron Curtis here on Radio Wasteland. It's been a good time, and always check us out.
Oh, The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.